village of Amin.
Ariu.
One of the holy places of Kurukshetra Dham. Not far from here on this hill is the place where Abhimanyu was surrounded by the Kurus and was killed. This is called Suryakund. According to what we have read of this place, Aditi and Kashyapa performed many thousands of years of tapasya here. And from this tapasya here, Aditi gave birth to Aditya. And Aditya means?
Sun.
And according to the local people, this is the place where after Duryodhana and his army was defeated by the Pandavas in complete embarrassment and shame, he came here in utter distress and did tapasya underwater. He was underwater for many days. This is a wonderful story which illustrates how whatever expertise we may have to manipulate for our own sense gratification, if it is not according to the will of God, if it is against the principles of Dharma, then in the end, we will simply suffer and we will lose everything. Krishna says in Gita, it tastes like nectar in the beginning, tastes like poison in the end. It tastes like poison in the beginning, tastes like nectar in the end. The Pandavas, because they were faithful devotees of the Lord, and because Yudhisthira was so honest, so noble, he was cheated. They were banished to the forest for many long years, which was like poison at the beginning. But in the end, because they remained faithful to the service of the Lord, Yudhisthira was coronated the king of the earth. Tasted like nectar in the end. As far as Duryodhana, by unfair and irreligious means, because of his envy, he was sitting on the royal throne. He was the king of all the world. He had rule over the whole planet. He had completely defeated the Pandavas. At least apparently, they were living in the jungles, he was living in the palace. But in the end, because he was against the Lord and his devotees, because he was motivated by greed and envy, and because of his material conceptions, his whole army was defeated. All of his 99 brothers had been ruthlessly slaughtered by Bhima. He had absolutely nothing left. He lost his family. He lost his prestige. He lost his kingdom. And in his heart and in his mind, he knew what type of terrible, terrible atrocities he had committed upon Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. So in utter shame, he came to this place and he just submerged himself under these waters in utter lamentation. At the end of the battle, the Pandavas, they understood that everyone had been defeated, but Yudhisthira had not been found yet. Duryodhana had not been found yet. And of course, Bhima had vowed to kill all of the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So they came here. And they challenged Duryodhana to come out. And ultimately, he came out of the suit of a kund. And he was challenged to fight. He was to challenge to fight and choose his own weapon. And Yudhisthira was so noble that he told Duryodhana, if you win this fight, you can have the whole kingdom back. And he said, you could choose your own weapon. Duryodhana chose to fight with the club. And Duryodhana was very expert at fighting with club because he was personally trained by Lord Balaram. But no one could defeat him. Not even Bhima. So they fought for many, many days near this place. And neither could defeat the other. Because Bhima was so powerful, he was so strong, that Duryodhana couldn't defeat him. But Duryodhana was so quick, and so graceful, and so just meticulous and expert in every movement that Bhima could not defeat him. So it went on for many days without any decision. At that time, Krishna instructed Bhima on how Duryodhana could be killed. Srila Prabhupada tells a story that one time in Hastinapur, Gandhari, she understood that Duryodhana would be meeting great opposition in his life because of his greedy and envious ways. So she wanted to make his body infallible and undefeatable. Now Gandhari had performed a great tapasya, the tapasya of chastity. Srila Prabhupada says, just as a brahmachari gets great strength from celibacy, similarly a woman gets great, great strength by chastity. In fact, the chastity of the woman is one of the greatest powers in all of creation. Because Dushasana and Duryodhana tried to impose upon the chastity of Draupadi due to her curse, all of their wives became widows. Because Ravana tried to violate the chastity of Sita, similarly his entire kingdom was destroyed, as well as his own life. So Gandhari was a chaste woman, and her chastity was especially manifested at the time of her marriage. Her father told her that you are to marry Dhritarashtra, who is blind. So she was thinking that if he is blind, if a woman thinks herself in any way better than her husband, then she can't be a faithful one. If I have anything my husband doesn't have, then that will disturb my ability to be a faithful and chaste wife. So she, on her own, she made a vow that I will never see again. I must follow in the footsteps of my husband. So she took silk cloths and covered her eyes so she could not see the light of the day. And she remained blind voluntarily throughout her whole life. Duryodhana, he was Actually, Dhritarashtra impregnated Gandhari, and at the same time, not Pandu, but Dharmaraj, by the instruction of Pandu, impregnated Kunti. At that time, whichever of the sons were to be born first would be considered senior. So Gandhari was very much anxious that her son would be born first. But Yudhisthira was born of Kunti first. So Gandhari became so much upset, that very strong blow she inflicted upon her own abdomen. And at that time, a lump of flesh came out of her body. She created what we would call these days like a self-inflicted abortion. And this lump of flesh, which was premature, nobody knew what to do with it. So they called Vedavyas. And Vedavyas explained that Gandhari and Dhritarashtra were already, it had already been prophesied that they would have 100 sons. So he divided that lump of flesh into 100 pieces, and by his mystic powers, 100 children were born of that lump of flesh. The first one was Duryodhana. And when he was born, instead of crying, he was braying like an ass. And Vedavyasa actually said that you should kill this son, because he will be the ruin of your whole dynasty if you let him live. But Dhritarashtra was so attached to him that he wouldn't listen to Vedavyasa. And he allowed Duryodhana to live. Anyways, we know the story how from his early childhood he was very envious of the Pandavas. He fed Bhima poison. He tried to burn them all in the house of Arnataka. With the help of Shakuni, he cheated them in a gambling match and banished them to the forest for 14 years. Meanwhile, Gandhari, worried about her son's future, because as a mother, even though she knew that he was wrong, and Gandhari was actually such a virtuous woman that she would continuously be instructing Dhritarashtra to be fair to the Pandavas. But Duryodhana was saying something else. Dhritarashtra was too much affected and influenced by the association with the living. So he became sinful in that association. So Gandhari, by the strength of her chastity, told Duryodhana that tomorrow morning you come to me with no clothes on and I will make your body indestructible and invincible. So Duryodhana was coming the next morning with no clothes on. But who do you think he happened to meet?
Krishna.
Sri Bhagavan, Sri Krishna ki!
Jai!
Who else? Krishna looked at Duryodhana, being the knower of past, present, and future. He said, Duryodhana, what is this? You're walking with no clothes on. He said, I'm going to see my mother. Mother, she is the embodiment of chastity. She is the embodiment of goodness. How can you go before your mother with no clothes on? It is a great offense. It is obscene. At least you must put on a kopan, a loincloth. So Duryodhana thought, yes, what Krishna is saying, it makes sense. How can I come before my mother naked? So he put on a kopan. And when he went before his mother, he said, Mataji, I am here. And then, for the first time in all these years, she lifted her blindfold. And because of the power of this austerity, her eyes had such strength that whatever her eyes saw, would become indestructible and invincible. So she looked upon every part of his body. And she saw, "What is this? Why are you all wearing a loincloth? I told you to come naked." He said, "I was coming naked, but Krishna told me that it was improper." And I said, "Ah, Krishna has spoiled everything. He knows past, present, and future. He has sown the seed of my son's destruction." So every part of his body was undefeatable. Virtually indestructible, except his thighs and the base of his spine. Now, as you know, Krishna deliberately did like this because at the time when Draupadi was brought into that assembly, Duryodhana, in order to insult her in front of her husbands, he showed Draupadi his thigh. And at that time, Bhima vowed that, "I will crush this thigh." For Dushasana, who stripped her naked, he said, I vow that I will kill him, and I will tear out his heart and drink his blood. I will eat his heart." He was a vegetarian. Anyway, so Krishna knew that Duryodhana was only vulnerable if he's hit below the belt, at the base of his spine, his thighs. Now it's the Kshatriya code of conduct that while fighting with clubs, you cannot hit a man below the belt. It's considered sinful to do so. And Krishna told Bhima that tomorrow when you fight, this is the only way you can kill him. This is the only way you can defeat him. So the next day as they were fighting, Bhima just flung his club at Duryodhana and gracefully, like a professional dancer, Bhima leaped in the air to avoid it. Huh? Duryodhana, right. Duryodhana leaped in the air to avoid it. Now while he was up there, he considered himself completely safe till he came down. Because Bhima could not hit him below the belt. But while he was in the air, Bhima, with all of his might, and Bhima, with one blow of his club, he would crack elephants in half. This was how powerful he was. He took, with all of his strength, he hit Bhima.
Duryodhana.
he hit Duryodhana at the base of his spine, breaking his thighs and his backbone. And Duryodhana just came down to the ground, crumbled, total pain and agony. Bhima ki!
Jai!
Bhima Sena ki!
Yeah.
Krishna was very happy. But as Duryodhana was laying there, utter amazement that Bhima could possibly cheat in this way. He was in such mortal agony. He was just crying in pain. Just at that time, Balaram appeared on the scene. And as you know, Duryodhana was Balaram's favorite student. He personally trained him to fight with the club. And when Balaram saw that his most prized pupil had been defeated and devastated to the point of imminent death because of the cheating, unfair means of Bhima, Balaram was so angry that he actually approached Bhima to fight him. But Bhima knew that Balaram would destroy him in a second. He was wreaked with fear, and everyone was. Nobody could stop Balaram. But then Krishna, he intervened. He said, "Balaram, why you are going to do this to Duryodhana? known to be. Look at what he has done. He has cheated. Krishna said, well, you don't think? When Duryodhana cheated with the dice and banished them to the forest for 14 years when that kingdom was meant for them, that was not cheating. And when he put them in the house of Arnataka and tried to burn them to death when they were sleeping, that was not cheating. And when he fed Bhima's deadly poison in the name of Mahaprasad, that was not cheating. This is his karma. He has cheated Bhima and the Pandavas so repeatedly that it is then his natural reaction that he must be cheated in this way. Balaram, although he was very much angry with Bhima, he did not want to go against Krishna. So he just left that place. This way Krishna protected the Pandavas. Balaram. He protected him from Duryodhana. Okay? From Balaram. Well, anyways, this shows that crime does not pay. If we're just honest and noble, even though it may appear that we'll be cheated by others, in the end, we will get Krishna's mercy and receive everything. But if in order to attain some temporary recognition or some temporary profits, we engage in dishonorable means, we should know that yes, we may get some benefits, some opulence, some glorification. In the end, we will be destroyed. And according to the local people, this is also the place where Yudhisthira came from water when he was very thirsty. And the Yaksha told him that I had many questions to ask him. You know the story. Of course, it is also said that this took place at Kamyaban near Vrindavan. But the local people here insist that it happened here. When the Pandavas were in exile, one time, they were all stricken. They were looking. There was a sacrifice. Some sages were performing a yajna, and a special type of wood was stolen. The wood that was meant for that, I think, Arani wood, was meant for that yajna. So they called upon the Pandavas to search for that wood. So Nakula, I believe, was the first, and he was looking, and he came to this pond of water, and when he came to this pond of water, all of a sudden he just becomes struck with intense, unbearable thirst. And when he was just about to drink the water, he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Do not drink this water until you answer my question." But he was so thirsty he drank the water and he died. He didn't come back for some time. Sahadev was sent by Yudhisthira. He also, the same situation, he became struck with water, thirst. He saw this pond. He went to pick up the water to quench his thirst and he heard the voice. "You are forbidden to drink this water until you answer my questions." He drank the water and he died. Yudhisthira sent Arjuna. Arjuna saw his two brothers laying there dead. But then he got struck with so much thirst, he went to drink the water, and this voice spoke and said, "You see your two brothers are dead? If you drink this water without answering my questions, you will die as well." But Arjuna was so thirsty, he couldn't control himself. He went to drink the water, and he died. And Bhima was sent by Yudhisthira because nobody knew the brothers were disappearing. They weren't coming back. So Bhima came. Same thing happened. So finally Yudhisthira decided, "I have to go find where my brothers are. None of them have returned in so long." And he came to this kund. And he became overwhelmed with intense, unbearable thirst. Even though he saw his four brothers laying there dead,
his first priority was to get something to drink. And he just was about to drink the water when this voice said, "Your four brothers are dead. If you drink this water without answering my questions, you will also die." So Yudhisthira, who was Dharmaraj himself, the embodiment of self-control and nobility, he put the water down. So what is your question? At that time, a yaksha appeared and began to, actually, the questions began to come. In Mahabharata, there's a series of many, many, many questions that were asked. And every question Yudhisthira was asking perfectly. And the most famous of all those questions was, what is the most wonderful thing, the most amazing thing in all the world? And Yudhisthira answered by saying that everyone in the world is seeing everyone around them dying, but everyone is thinking that I will not die. After Yudhisthira satisfied this yaksha by answering all of his questions and tolerating this intense thirst, the yaksha revealed himself. He said, "Because you have answered my questions, I will give any one of your brother's lives back to you." Said, who did he ask for? Sahadev?
No, he said, "I want one of the two sons of Madri, because I am the son of Kunti."
Yeah, so he asked for one of them. He said, "I want Sahadev." And Yaksha, Yustan, Nakul and Sahadev are the most insignificant. Why you want Sahadev? You have to fight a big war. You'll need Bhima, who's stronger than 10,000 elephants. You'll need Arjuna, the greatest archer. Why you will pick the most insignificant of all of them? And Yudhisthira said, because I am the son of Kunti. And I am surviving. But of Madri's sons, there will be no one to survive. So out of due respect for Madri, one of her sons should survive as well as one of Kunti's sons. And the yaksha was so incredibly amazed by the complete nobility and dignity of Yudhisthira's detachment. He was willing to give up any chance of winning his kingdom back just to keep the name and honor of his what would you say, step co-mother or whatever. And he became so pleased with his detachment, he said, "I will give you all your brothers back." And they all came back to life. And then they actually revealed himself to be Yamaraj, the father of Yudhisthira, and gave him his blessings. So according to the village people, this pastime also took place. And according to the books we have read, the Puranas describe that this Surya Kund is very auspicious. And anyone who takes bath in this kund will become extremely beautiful. And any married couple that takes bath in this kund together and performs tapasya will have a son with the characteristics of Surya, the sun god. So since none of us are married couples, then we are basically brahmacharis. You should not be concerned with beauty or children. In honor of Maharaj Yudhisthira, in honor of Duryodhana, in honor of Aditi and Kashyapa, of the Achman Upanishads, take the bath of Surya.
I go with the Haribol.
Haribol.